Well, wherever you may be, we've got open lines for you now this hour. Just you, just me. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. As I mentioned, open lines this hour. And by the way, producer Tom is undergoing the test, the experiment for us on his hydrogen electric apparatus that has been attached to his car. He is going to go through the procedure now. We've got 18 miles to a gallon without the machine turned on. The machine gets turned on tonight, and we're going to run a tank full of gas out there, and then he'll be on, and we'll give you the report. And as we have told the folks who have put the apparatus on his car, that if it works, everyone's going to know about it. If it doesn't, more people will know about it. Isn't that the way it is? But that's what we're going to do, and we'll give you the results, and we'll tell you exactly what's going on. Let's go to the phones. Open lines for the entire hour. West of the Rockies, Leon in California. Hey, Leon.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. Not bad.
Well, I just wanted to mention really briefly that this is my first time calling, a long-time listener.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George. Just wanted to briefly tell you about some of my dreaming experiences. I realized that there's quite a scientific cult out there, if you will, of lucid dreaming.
Yes.
Which is dreaming within dreaming.
Knowing that you're dreaming, that's what it is.
That's correct, and being aware within your dream as well.
Yep.
Of your surroundings and your encompassing world, whatever it may be.
Those are some of my favorite dreams, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can travel to, if you so choose, you can travel to different worlds, I believe. I am sort of a proselyte, if you will, of Carlos Castaneda, and I believe in his ability to perhaps divine truths from dreams through his writings. Ever since I've read him, since maybe mid-90s, 95 and so on, I've been able to induce a dreaming state, a lucid dreaming state. And he writes within his work that people that are able to do this are achieving two things. They're arriving at a coherence and a unity of their energy within these dreams. Now, when one does this, that he claims, you are actually entering into a full world, a fully realized world. And in his book, The Art of Dreaming, he mentions that once you achieve this state, it actually is, there's seven different worlds that are fully realized, that are inhabited by both the dreaming humanity and the inanimate objects that, or the inanimate energies that he proclaims are also existent there. As if when we live in our world here, it's sort of related to the inorganic beings that live there. His precise terminology is the inorganic being.
And some of those beings aren't very friendly.
Well, you know, I want to say that their intention is to gain awareness just like ours. Whether or not they appear to be ominous or threatening, I think that's on our part. Our minds sort of parse the energy that they're emitting from themselves to be either negative or positive. So there is no, I don't think they come with the intent of being malicious towards us. But then again, we live in a world, in a universe that's very predatory. Now, he gets into specific details through his book, The Art of Dreaming. Now, I don't mean to plug that book. That's just the reference point that I'm using.
And he's no longer with us anyway.
No, he died in 1997, and they say of cirrhosis of the liver. But I want that, you know, towards the end of his book, he goes through these several steps of finding objects that you can find within your dream, just to give your callers and your listeners a heads up on how to induce lucid dreaming.
Can you do this truly at will now?
Well, yes, I can. I locate my hands, and that was one of the first steps that he elucidates in his book. You find your hands, the palm of your hands. And sometimes within my dreams, they're morphing, they're altering. They're not my hands, they're female hands, or they're animal hands, but they are my hands. They're coming from me. And once you do that, that's sort of a focal point. And once you can achieve that focal point, you can start concentrating on elements within your environment.
Absolutely. I'd tell you what I'd also like you to do is go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, in as much as you're a first-time caller, and type in dreams. Rosemary Ellen Guiley also, and go to her website, visionaryliving.com. You'll find a whole bunch of information on that. We're going to move on and take a few more callers, but definitely do that, Leon. You're going to get some great information there. First time caller line, Nick in Oregon. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, George?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base on astral traveling and projection.
Okay. Do you do this?
Yeah, actually, it runs in my family on my mother's side.
Genetic.
Yes, and anyways, I mean, my family's not really religious or anything, so I don't really have a big belief system in my family, but it's probably the only tie that I have to actually believing that there's existence after life.
Sure. And you don't have to be religious to be an astral projector.
Right, right, because I never had any solid proof that there was anything. But
did your family just talk about this openly?
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, because, you know, I've kind of kept to myself until somebody else started talking about it.
Within the family?
Yeah, exactly. Like
that's amazing. But just the mother's side does it.
Yeah. Nobody on my father's side has ever done that. But, I mean, it happens right when we're falling asleep, and all of a sudden we just feel like we're floating, you know, kind of like an out-of-body experience.
Do you all travel together?
No. I've never been able to do that. But it's just personal. But it's just weird when somebody else, you know, starts talking about the exact same thing.
Why has it made you, Nick, feel as if there is something on the other side?
Well, because it's just very strange, you know. Because you know, when I talk about it, somebody might say that it's just a dream because you know it's right when I'm falling asleep. And then all of a sudden, I feel like I'm floating. And you've talked about the lady that sits on your chest.
The old hag syndrome.
That's right. And that is a predominant symptom of it. But sometimes I'm actually able to feel like I'm in the middle of a forest or somewhere just that's not home, you know, but I feel like I'm totally awake. But it's just really floaty. It's really weird. But I know that it's occurring.
It is incredible that you're able to do it through your entire family on your mother's side. That's first for me. I haven't heard that. South Carolina we go. Wild card line. Andy, hello there.
Hey, it's completely obvious to me, and I hope many others, that because of recent macroeconomic trends, we are in desperate need of a sea change in our economic approaches. We need a massive upgrade of two things: our educational system, and our public discourse, including politics. And I'll give you a recent example. Presidential candidate Barack Obama recently said that Americans are desperately clinging to their religion and their guns. I think that's just pitifully naive. I think you need to change a couple of words in that statement to get a profoundly accurate statement. People are desperately presenting their need for good cognitive understanding of public issues. We need to increase our job supply, our positive balance of trade, just gross domestic product. And what people are clinging to is a commitment to make our schools competitive and our public discourse acceptable to intelligent people.
See, our education system, as you know, is one of the worst on the planet compared to other countries that are doing a very good job educating their kids.
I think we need to publicly ridicule people who are either individual saboteurs or co-conspiring complicity type people who are opposing doing the things we need to maintain a strong national security and a strong economy. You know, the Congress has put it off. You know, the desperate clinging is politicos, elective, appointed, hired, who are clinging to political power when they don't quite seem to know what to do to look out for the general public's best interests. That's the desperate clinging that's going on. That's just It would be hilarious if it weren't so serious.
And it's going to take a long time to fix. Whoever gets elected, Andy, is the next president. They're not going to be able to fix this in 4 years. This thing is deeper than you can imagine. Aaron, let's go to you in Arkansas. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Aaron.
Hello there, George. How are you? I'm a long-time listener of Art Bell, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I talk about your first caller, Jesse Marcel. He talked about the Roswell crash. Did he ever happen to go to ScienceDaily.com and look at the article on metal rubber that they've just developed?
Don't know. Don't think so, but don't know.
Okay, well, you know, you can stretch it, you can fold it, you can cut it, and it still retains its same shape. It's just little squares. If you go to ScienceDaily.com, and you can see this. I'm just curious if he had seen that.
That was developed by the French, wasn't it?
I did not see.
I think it was.
Okay. I did not see who it was developed by. I just saw a lady on there. Just caught it the other day.
Relatively new technology.
Yes, it is. And I was wondering if it maybe had been back-engineered from the Roswell crash.
Maybe. What? When I first saw that story, maybe 6 months ago?
Yeah, it was recent.
Yeah, I thought of that. I said, you know what? They've got reverse technology. This sounds like what they found at Roswell.
Yeah, and one last thing about just the other day I was listening, and you had, it was called about evolution, you know, how everything came about, the link between... I guess you could say aliens or the Nephilim, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little curious. If you ever look at people, really study the way people look, I don't think we were, if evolution did happen, I don't think they came from monkeys. They came from birds.
Birds? Take a look at them. We came from birds?
Yeah, take a look at them. Take a look at the skeleton of a bird and then take a look at your own skeleton.
Okay. I never never compared that before.
Well, just take a look and see what you think.
You got to do it.
I was talking to you.
Okay. Next wild card line, it's you, Taylor, in Minnesota. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, I was just wondering, if you bump into a government agent or maybe an alien in a skin job suit, how you might tell them from somebody else. I mean, I've seen some people that acted really, really strange.
I don't know. Can't have an answer for you on that.
Well, maybe we can kick that old bean around.
That's not a bad idea. West of the Rockies, Jim, you're on the air with us. Hey, Jim.
Hey, George. My name's Tim, actually. I'm a truck driver.
Tim, okay. I'm looking at Jim, but that's okay.
Yeah, it probably sounded pretty close. On my hands free in California.
It started on the 1st. Here it is.
What I was calling about, have you heard anything about the free TV on the internet?
Free television on the internet?
Correct. I went to a website last night. It was called orderfreetv.com, and it talks about this person from Australia that developed the software. Took 2 years of research and development, $49.99, and that you supposedly can get into over 1,000 different stations from any satellite and cut out the middleman, which is a cable company or the dish network. And I was wondering if anybody ever heard about it or if it's legit. It says it claims on there that it's 100% money-back guarantee. In fact, if you keep it 6 months, they'll give you $100 back instead of the $50 original dollars that you invested in the software. And I was just curious if you'd heard anything about it.
Okay. We'll check into that and see if anybody else has more information. East of the Rockies, Chris, you're on the air with us. Hey, Chris.
Yes. Hello, George. It's a pleasure speaking to you. The question I have was for your last guest, and it was pertaining to that he was not raised in a family with certain faiths or anything. As far as this guardian angel he spoke about, the question is, if he don't believe in a God of a sort, or God as we know, as far as how did that... or angel come to existence. If he's still listening, I just wanted to add it in that, things exist because of greater power, a creator. And I was just wondering if, you know, if he's thought about that.
See, you know, I've never been a believer that things just happen by chance. Uh-huh. You know, there's got to be some organization to it. And then when you start believing in organization, mm-hmm. there's got to be some intelligence behind it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm a strong believer that there's another realm out there, the angelic realm. I think it's there. I think it was always there.
Well, who created that angelic realm?
That's right.
What do you think about that?
Somebody did.
Somebody did.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks. You make us think. Jeff in Canada, your
Hi,
turn.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got it down there, but I've noticed on our CBC, the national network that's going to be looking after the televising of the Olympics from Beijing,
mm-hmm.
that they're announcing the date that it starts, and lo and behold, it's 8-8.08.
Yeah, the Chinese, as you know, are strong believers in 8.
I know, and I thought, well, isn't that interesting, you know, that they would work that in. By the way, I've been having OBE since I was 8 years old, and I'm 54. So.
I had one at 11, never had it again.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Two more quick things for you. I heard a gentleman that represents the propane industry here in Canada saying that if all of our vehicles in Canada were converted to propane, we would not need to import any oil to our East Coast, to our refineries whatsoever.
That's amazing. Now, what would the equivalent of a gallon of propane be, sort of? It's
right
in liter
now,
forms, is it?
Right
that?
Now, sell it by the liter, and a liter is just about the same size as one of your quarts. So, and our liters are now selling for about 75 cents.
So that would be about $3 a gallon, basically.
Yes. But the other thing is that, for instance, here in Ontario, the average price of a liter of ordinary gasoline is $1.34. And today they started in British Columbia with a carbon tax, which has bumped theirs cost to getting close to $1.50.
So are you in Canada feeling the economic crunch?
Oh, absolutely.
Also?
It's phenomenal. Because I live about 80 miles north of Toronto and in a very prominent tourist area, and they've noticed that there's quite a noticeable diminishing of the amount of traffic on the highways coming up here. And today was July 1st was our 141st birthday as a country. And the last thing I wanted to share with you was the use of turmeric. And not only as to consume it, George, but I was assaulted about 3 years ago, and the two kids that jumped me, they smashed me in the forehead with the bottom of a plastic milk carton. You know, And anyway, I required 32 stitches in my forehead, and what I did is that I used vitamin E oil, but I also sprinkled turmeric on the area where the stitches were. And that happened on the 30th of October. I sat across the table at a restaurant on the 26th of November for my birthday dinner with my mother, and she could not even tell that I had stitches.
Amazing.
Yes. Well, it's been used for about 2,000 years in Africa as a poultice.
It does reduce inflammation.
Yeah. But it speeds healing, and I just use the vitamin E oil as an adhesive to keep it in place. But you know, if you can sit across from your mom 4 weeks after having 32 stitches in your forehead,
pretty darn good,
and you pass the mother test, I think it works.
It sure is. Isn't it amazing how this planet has remedies for nearly every problem or affliction? It is amazing. We'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, our first hour guest, he's back, Billy Mumy, will be with us. He was in the Twilight Zone and Lost in Space. He's also a pretty accomplished musician. He's bringing his guitar with him. He's going to sing songs or so. But we're going to chat with Billy during the first hour. And one of my favorite Twilight Zones, of course, when he wished people into the cornfield. Remember that? You're a bad, bad man, he used to say. And then later on in the show, Brooks Agnew joins us again, talking about and updating us on the plans to look for the inner Earth within the North Pole. That should be a great show. And also a program note for you, as many of you know, but if you don't, after you're done with your festivities on July 4th, that Friday night, we'll have a live program for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Back to the phones we go. Mike in Texas, first-time caller line. Hello, Michael.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good. How about you?
Great. Just wanted to try something on. I've been listening to your program since you were on in 2002.
2001, I started doing part-time, full-time
right.
2003.
Yeah, I used to listen to you while I was working at the water treatment plant. Anyway, what I wanted to try on you was something that I've come up with. Over the years, I've asked numerous people in the clergy to answer some of the questions that are quite prevalent in the Bible
mm-hmm.
with regard to things that have happened and how the earth was developed. And somewhere along the line, we got the idea that it was done in 6,000 years.
There's a group that believes that. You might be one of them, but... Yeah,
the way I feel about it, my God is immortal, and he has the entire universe to deal with as far as time is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he be constricted to the turning of the earth in his time frame? To him, I'm sure it would go much, much slower, where 6,000 years could very well be 6 billion.
I agree. Okay. I'm not a believer in the 6,000 man
Neither
years.
Neither am I. It doesn't give enough time for all the scientific proofs we have for much longer existence.
Well, and I also...
Additionally, if you go into the Bible and it starts referring to all of the people in the land of Nod, who were they? Where did they come from? I think they were part of an experiment that went on for... several thousands and thousands of years.
Oh, yeah. Things happened on this planet a long time ago.
The of the scientific group was stationed on Mars in what is now called Cydonia. And they traveled back and forth. Actually, they did terraforming, which we can do now.
Now you're getting interesting.
An idea of how to do it. Additionally... like I said, the people of Nod were already here as part of an experiment, okay? So that when Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, they had some place to go, and it was into the area where these people existed.
How did you come up with these theories?
I started applying science as a part of my faith and started thinking about things in the terms of what we can do now. And I also believe that what man can conceive, man can do. And we do conceive of both space travel, which, you know, makes Mars right next to Earth. We conceive of terraforming, which is what is described in the Bible from the very beginning.
Do you think mankind is millions and millions of years old? Intelligent.
I think that we were made in the image of our Creator. Okay? It states just that specifically, that we are created in the image of our Creator.
The question is, who might be our immediate Creator?
Exactly. But let me put it this way. As far as my faith is concerned, I have a deep abiding faith in God. God, to me, is my Creator. It's as simple as that.
Doesn't mean, though, that he didn't create a group that then created us. Possible.
Possible. But if you go to all the miracles that were performed, I think that Jesus was actually probably born of immaculate birth through artificial insemination.
Well, that might be. See, it's interesting, though, that you take a very scientific approach to this and then apply it to the spirituality part of it. It is fascinating, isn't it, when you think about it? Next up, east of the Rockies, Mark in Texas. Hey, Mark, your turn.
Hey, good morning, George.
Yes, sir.
Give me a lot to think about on this program tonight.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I just wanted to give you a shout-out because I talked to you about 2 years ago about one of my experiences in Babylon, Iraq, when I was there. But I wanted to tell you about an experience I had in Nevada on Highway 95, not too far away from Groom Lake.
What happened there?
It's been probably about 9 or 10 years ago now. I came through there in the middle of the night. I made regular runs up through there, but never had an experience. And I pulled over in the middle of the night. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and take a little break. The moon was just bright. It was one of those beautiful clear nights out there that you could almost drive without headlights. And I pulled over and turned off my truck, which was strange for me to do, but I was just walking around trying to wake up. And I noticed a big, blacker than the night sky, an object. And it looked like a spearhead with the front tip broken off, and it was just silent as all get out. And it was just moving.
I mean, huge, huge, no doubt.
It's very, very large. At night, everything kind of distorted, so I couldn't give you an accurate idea how large this thing was, but you could just tell it was huge. And it just moved silently. It made no noise whatsoever. And it moved across the horizon, and it went behind some mesa. And within 2 or 3 minutes, while I was standing there just with my mouth open looking at this thing disappear, two jet fighters were chasing it, coming right behind it within 2 minutes.
Yeah, and we know what they wanted.
It kind of made me strange. Well, I guarantee you I got my truck and left rather hurriedly after that.
Tell me you had some pictures. Tell me you had a camera.
No. I did have some pictures from Babylon, Iraq, though, that were quite strange. But
refresh us on that.
The camp I was in, I was a contract driver in Iraq, and we were based in Babylon, Iraq. The ancient ruins were inside of our camp. What the excavated ruins were inside of our camp.
Right, right.
And you could take little tours that were set up for tourism, what was there. And granted that the Babylon ruins are huge, extremely huge, and they cover a great amount of land out there, but what was excavated was inside our camp. And me and a friend of mine that worked there took a little tour, and one of the places that they took us to was a kind of a vault, a cavern, a man-made brick cavern, and they believed it was a storage facility from the old city. And I walked in there with a digital camera, and I've been taking pictures through the whole tour, and I got ready to take a picture, and my camera completely died. And I said, well, okay, the batteries, I've been using it all day. So I looked around, and there wasn't much to see, and I walked back out, and I looked down my camera, and it was fully charged. And I walked back into that room, and it completely died again.
Isn't it amazing, though, to think that so much happened there many, many years ago?
I would be, if I was a very superstitious man, I doubt if I would have walked into some of the places over there. But it was very, very interesting to be able to put your hands on and just shift your hands through the sand of something that was there thousands of years ago.
You could almost hear the people in that area at that time. It is something else. Same thing happened to me when I went to Hawaii a couple years ago for speech, and we flew over Pearl Harbor in Oahu, and you could almost picture what happened back in 1941 in an area right now that is quiet. It's just really strange, and from a plane, it looks so small. Hard to believe that that's where our problems started when we got into the war. Well, let's go to Mike in Arizona. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how are you, George?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you.
Well, I called for a specific reason, and that's to thank you. I don't know if you remember me or not, but I called about a month ago, and I had a new business, and I was all upset about people with scams, and you kind of told me just calm down.
Oh, yeah.
Take it easy, and which I did, and about 2 days after I sent you an email, I had an unbelievable dream, and I just woke up and I decided that, you know, not that I don't need it, but I think what I'm doing now is I'm going to let people know that people that want to go into the debt free to go into that program, I'm just giving back what I make to pay their fuel bills this year. I just feel so good about that now, and I just want to thank you. I'm the one that had lung cancer that made it through. And I just think that's why I made it through, is to give people a hand with that.
Good for you.
So I just wanted to thank you for that, George. And so you have more of a purpose than just an entertainer. You are a counselor on top of it.
I'm glad you're well.
Oh, I am. Thank you, George, very much.
Okay, my friend. Stephen, Mississippi. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, George. I love the show. I have a question. I have a friend of mine that is able to read, do readings on you and tell what's wrong with you as far as illnesses.
Okay.
Kind of like Nostradamus did. And now she's also, like last week, she thought she was having a heart attack, and she went into the hospital, and she met somebody she just did a reading on who was having a heart attack.
Oh, how weird.
And there was nothing wrong with her. So it's like she's picking up the symptoms of the illness.
Yeah, of the people she's reading, yeah.
Yeah, and I looked on the internet, and, you know, I went to the Coast to Coast site and everything, and I really couldn't, you know, I didn't know how to look anything up as far as someone who could give her some advice about that.
That's interesting. We've done some shows on hands-on healing and people who heal.
Yeah, I know, but she doesn't really.
No, this is something else.
She just gets like she never even graduated high school, but she'll tell you you have, you know, arterial sclerosis or something. She just reads the words, she says, that's in your body. You know, she doesn't even know what arterial sclerosis is.
Sounds like she's Edgar Cayce. We're going to have a show on him next week. Maybe that, maybe if you Google search ARE, it's his enlightenment group down in Virginia Beach. You might get some information on that.
Okay, I was thinking it was Nostradamus, but maybe it was Edgar Cayce.
Yeah, try that. ARE, just Google search that, / Edgar Cayce.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, let's go to Louise in Arizona. Hey, Louise, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's Louise. Hey, I called you a couple of weeks ago about that guy, Greg Palace.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 We're looking into him now. We're gonna have to go through a screening process before we put him on as a guest.
There you go. I was having a dream a couple nights ago, but people going up to the palace where they got to vote for either McCain or
Obama.
Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And people were writing across the papers, the ones that do the writing ones. He's from New Mexico. Ron Paul.
He's from Texas.
Texas?
Yeah.
But they were writing Ron Paul on there, so I started thinking, I call up, maybe he could have some kind of like a petition going on with your computer where people would call up or just go online and sign for Ron Paul instead of having the government decide which candidate we need to choose.
Well,
why don't we have a petition saying who we want to choose?
I don't know if Ron Paul wants to run anymore until maybe 4 years from now.
Really?
It might be smarter just to sit back for a while.
That's just something I was thinking. And that caller that called earlier about that cable on internet,
yeah,
the free TV, I signed up for that, and I found out that they get you on the backside on the downloads. It can be anywhere from $10 to like $200 for your download that they put on your computer, and your computer might not be compatible for it.
$200 for a download?
So, you know, that all depends. And then it takes, if you have 7 days to cancel it, and if you don't cancel within 7 days, you lost your money.
Always worthwhile to check into things. Hey, thanks. Take a couple more calls, and we're out of time. James in Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Hey, James.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, George?
No good. Worries? Yes, sir. I'm fine.
Well, fine. I'm glad to get through to you. I just want to tell you a little incident I had, and I had some barbecue places there out of Texas. And one morning I was taking my meat off the pit, and I stand in front of my window there at the place, and I looked out of the corner of my eye, and there's a man standing there. And he was white hair, white beard, white suit. He had a dog. It was white. And at least everything was white.
It wasn't Colonel Sanders. That's the chicken place.
Right. Well, you know, I thought, well, maybe he was hungry. So I asked him. I said, would you like to have a sausage wrap or anything? And he just stood there and looked at me, you know. And he said, do you know who I am? And I looked at him. I said, no, sir, I don't know you. And I kept preparing some of my meat, you know, and looked around. I said, well, can I fix you something to eat? You know, I was going to give him something to eat early in the morning. And He said, "Don't you know who I am?" I said, "No, sir. I don't think I do." And I turned my eyes back to my feet, and I turned back, and he was gone. Well, I went out the door, walked around the place there, couldn't see him nowhere, and he disappeared. He couldn't go off in the field because he had brush and fence line there, and I looked down the highway, you know, and, man, I didn't see him nowhere. I mean, it was just like that. He just disappeared, you know. I mean,
you know who he was, don't you?
I think I do. And it was just so amazing, you know. It didn't scare me or nothing like that, because I'm a devout Christian guy, you know, and I believe in angels, and I believe everybody's got one watching over him, you know. And that just floored me that time, you know. And I hadn't done anything since. Of course, I told the family about it. Of course, the family believed all of it, and because they're Christian people, you know, and my grandpappy was a pastor for 89 years, so, you know, I'm pretty devout in it. But the weird thing was that, I mean, I looked all over the place for him. I mean, it wasn't 30 seconds after he left the window I went out looking for him, and he was nowhere to be seen. And then I asked people in town, "Have you seen a man in a white suit with a white dog?" Nobody seen him.
Nobody saw him either. Hey, we're out of time. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.